Episode 8 of the Adapra podcast. Joining me here in studio is Maria. How are you?
Really well.
That's good. Thank you. So we are talking to you via the medium of a new fancy microphone. So we are sounding crisper and cleaner and better than we've ever had before. Haven't we, Maria?
And louder.
And louder. Yes. Very good. So today, again, we're going to repeat the same winning formula from last week's podcast. We're going to have a part one and a part two. So fancy, fancy. But what are we talking about today in today's podcast, Maria?
We're talking about mythology.
Mythology? Wow, okay. So so what have you been looking at regarding mythology?
Okay, I've been looking at African myths in particular.
Okay, so moving on to the presence of gods in African mythology. For example, well, as we know from Greek and Roman stories, the gods interact quite passionately and quite intensely and quite frequently with their human counterparts, and by doing so they display all the best and worst of humankind, you know, all the virtues and vices that we have. So is there a representation of this as well, this kind of interaction with godly people in African stories, or is it absent?
I think the interaction is more focused with nature, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a god in itself, but you know, just different elements of nature and different animals that are typical of the area and just features of the landscape.
Do certain animals display certain characteristics?
Most animals just, you know, play tricks on the characters. Okay. They try to distract them from the things they're doing, and you know,
they're plot devices for the show of deceit. So I mean are these stories set up in such a way that humans are very often like fighting against their surroundings, maybe for survival or to give themselves a living or to make their mark on the land in some kind of way?
I think more than a fight, it's just a process of discovery, and that includes kind of like, you know, men and women, which feature in quite a lot of myths as two groups of like boys and girls that, you know, live on either side of a river, and they interact with each other. And
are the girls dangerous? Are they too flirtatious or whatever?
Not at first, at least not in the, you know, pre-Islam mythology there in the north of Africa. But well, there's an element of, you know, flirtatiousness.
Flirtatiousness, okay, sounds interesting. I'll have to find a copy of these myths.
But not in an evil way, just in a natural, you know, growing up.
Kind of way. What kind of things do they do? Flick their hair, send notes across the classroom, take off their clothes. What do they do?
Yeah, just the old classics, you know.
What are the old classics? Shed some light.
Well, they just, you know, like tease each other and just set each other challenges and so on.
Okay, just challenges. Okay, so I mean, broadly speaking, like for example, you know, we have the stories of Hercules, showing his strength and courage through the completion of different trials. Do we have the same kind of task completion that a hero must do before he or she's considered a hero in African mythology? Is this a feature of these stories as well?
Not in the ones I've read, not so much.
Okay.
You know, it's more focused on like family and the relationships of the characters with you know, with the siblings or with the parents or that sort of thing.
So animals, gods, is there any kind of spiritual or story use of elements like the wind or water or fire or anything like that?
Well, water features quite a lot, probably because it's quite a, you know, an important, obviously an important source of life for everybody, but it's quite precious in the sense that there isn't as much water in Africa.
So the scarcity of the water is something that kind of keeps humans in mind of their place in the world, that life itself is fragile. Is that kind
yeah,
of what
I would say so, but it's all based on, you know, a duality of things that complement each other in nature. like day and night, and
okay,
you know.
So kind of the balance in the world. Okay, yeah, it's an interesting concept. So we've looked at the gods, the kind of gender roles, the kind of role of animals, kind of the elements. Is there anything else that we need to be aware of concerning African stories?
Well, following, you know, from the theme of family, a very important concept is twins, basically.
Okay,
they're just twins that appear a lot. African mythology.
Well, that's interesting because, like, obviously, you know, I think myths around the world share certain features. Like in Viking mythology, the number 9 is quite significant. In Celtic mythology and Irish mythology, the number 7. And would appear that in African mythology, the number 2 is important.
I think it's related to this duality I was talking about before of, like, two things that are opposed but complement each other. It's kind of like yin and yang type thing.
Yin and yang, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, these are obviously myths that I suppose to some extent are trying to explain how the world works. So are there stories related to creation myths, how we've come to live in this earth and how we relate to the celestial bodies and the universe and things like that?
Yeah, definitely. The creation stories are common for all cultures, and they usually have very similar characteristics, I think.
Okay. I imagine so, yes. Well, you know, even from listening to your very wonderful kind of account of African myths, it's very clear that there are certain things that they have in common with Celtic and Irish myths, for example. Like animals have kind of a primacy in Irish stories as well, with serpents. For example, serpents are used as a symbol of deceit and trickery as well. And of course, St. Patrick, who is our patron saint and who we celebrate every March 17th, is famous for performing the miracle of eliminating all the snakes from the island, for example, which is interesting because I think you mentioned, you touched upon this as well, of how Islamic kind of culture maybe kind of co-opted some of the stories and changed them. Well, the same happened with Christianity in Ireland, like as you mentioned as well, you know, a man versus land, or the kind of like humankind versus nature, kind of appears as well quite a lot in Irish stories. And these stories of kind of man versus snake or man versus animal, you know, got co-opted by a Christian religion and became stories, you know, like the snakes began to represent paganism and everything, and how the snakes became a symbol of paganism being, you know, forced out of Ireland by the light of Christianity, for example. I think there are some correlations there, I think. And also one of the most famous stories in the Irish canon is about a bull, kind of a bull that a husband and wife fought over, which led to a single combat between Cú Chulainn, one of the most famous Irish heroes, and one of his friends, who was also a great warrior but not as great or heroic as Cú Chulainn. And you know, this is one of the key passages in Irish mythology. It's one of the things that most Irish people would be aware about. And again, going back to animals, you know, the Fianna, who were the legendary warriors of Irish mythology, when they weren't fighting or doing other heroic things, they were of course hunting. So you know, animals do feature quite a lot in Irish mythology. And another thing as well, like going back to what you said about water, like a cauldron is kind of something very significant in Irish culture, in the sense that it never gets empty. It's always refilled, and it's quite interesting because it's kind of about, it's about like life and how life continues and everything. And also it's about how great warriors can get reborn in these cauldrons as well, so the great Irish heroes are kind of coming back into life. So I think a lot of the elements are shared by different mythologies. So now we're going to have a musical interlude and then part 2. Welcome back to part two. So, Maria, are you full of knowledge about Irish and African mythology?
I am.
I forgot to mention, actually, before that wonderful musical interlude, which will become a common feature of our podcast, that the function of snakes in Irish mythology was very much like the ones of dragons in Oriental mythology. So there you go. Well, if you want to send us a comment, email us at lrpaenglishacademy@gmail.com. Tune in next week for our next podcast. We will be continuing our weekly series of podcasts. And also, as well, we'll be updating our service over the next few weeks, and we'll be coming at you from different platforms as well. So, thank you very much for listening. This is Enda from El Arpa saying bye-bye.
And Maria, bye.